Thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for the pleasure and the chance to get to share things that you've done in my life. And I just want to pray that all of us today would be open, that we would be willing to listen and to grow and to hear from you. So would you open our hearts and our ears? Would you help us to listen to you, God? And to see what it is that you're doing in our lives. Lord, we thank you. We trust you. We know that you're a faithful God and that all that you do is for our good. And so in that we come and we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Well, we're back again in our marriage study titled Periscope. And we are learning the definition of periscope, right? That this is an instrument that helps us to view something above the direct level of sight. And we titled that, this study that, because that's our aim. It's to look above the direct level of sight and to see our husbands from the viewpoint of God, from what he's doing in their life, to have more of an eternal mindset. Not just looking at him through a microscope and focusing only on the daily, but rather seeing the daily more in light of eternal and more in light of what's to come. Today, specifically, we're going to discuss a husband's role of servant. I think it's important for us to be aware of what influences how we define a topic. And so where are our expectations and our definition of a servant coming from? Typically, you're going to get a definition for something or an expectation from either scripture or from society. And society influences us through TV, the news, social media, from your peers, from looking around the people that you live with in your community. But a servant typically is anyone that will give their time and their energy to help someone else, to be in service to someone. It's the action of helping or doing work on behalf of another. So inside our households, or in our marriages really, culturally the definition of a servant tends to lean toward a husband that helps with household duties or with the children. That helps out in there, right? And then outside of the house, it could be anything, a number of things that your husband might engage in on behalf of someone else. He could be helping coach a sports team for your children, or he could be jumping into something at your church or in the community for a cause. But I want to let you know that a challenge that we're all facing when we're talking about all these different roles during this study is comparing our husbands to other men. Comparison can be a real enemy when we're trying to encourage our husbands to see their potential. If we are going to compare him to other men, then we're just looking at the direct level of sight, right? We're not rising above. We're not considering, hey, what could God be doing in him specifically, uniquely. Remember that each one of us are created by God with a specific design. We're all given a unique personality. We're given gifts, strengths, weaknesses. And God has a purpose and a plan for your husband and for you that uses that design, okay? He was created for that. And it's going to benefit all of our marriages, you guys. Whenever we begin to recognize and value individual makeup. Plus, when you and I as women, when we can value how God has designed us to help our husbands, y'all, we could unleash some amazing potential in our marriages. When we begin to value each other for specifically how God's creating us. Okay, I'm going to share with you a little bit of my backstory to show you how I was uniquely prepared to be Bob's wife in the way that he serves best. But ultimately, I failed because of comparison to other men. And mind you, I didn't put this together till years later, but I was raised by a farming family in a farming community. My grandmothers, my mom, my aunts, and most of the women around us built their lives around the working of a farm. So what that meant practically was women were in charge of everything that had to do with the home. They were in charge of all the child rearing, especially in the baby years, especially in the young years. And they took care of the yard. They ran the house. Okay? I grew up exposed to that. I valued that. I got to see strong, capable women do amazing things. They worked long, hard hours along with the men who too worked these long, hard hours. And so when I got married, I assumed those roles would be the same, and I wanted them to be. I was happy to do that because I saw the benefit of it growing up in that, right? But after marriage, in the newlywed stage, some of those roles for us began to adjust just to fit our lifestyle. So Bob and I didn't need to stay in every night, so I wasn't cooking dinner all the time. The first time he pulled up to our house, we lived in town, y'all, I thought I was going to be a widow when he saw me mowing the yard. His heart almost stopped. And I did tell him later that at least I had refrained. My sister and I used to mow our yards in our bikinis, and I had not done that in town. So I did have a little bit of restraint there. But he wasn't keen on me being the yard keeper. And so I adapted to that change, okay? Well, then it became time for when we decided we were going to start a family. So we started having babies. So I began to question parenting. I mean, we had adapted, we had changed some of these roles that I had assumed I would have that I wasn't really having. So, okay, I'm going to reconsider what it looks like parenting-wise for Bob and I to work together. And so I began to look around. Okay? I was like, Bob's not a farmer. I mean, we lived in Fayetteville, Arkansas. You know, he's not exhausted. He could help get up at night. Why couldn't he? I was starting to see all of these families that were my age. Granted, my husband is 7 years older than me. But women my age, their husbands were working, and the wives were staying home, but the husbands were still getting up at night, like helping during the night. And I was like, I like this. So I began to alter my expectations of Bob strictly because of what I was seeing going on around me. And I know, looking back, my hopes for all of that change, they were not based at all in Bob's strengths or his weaknesses. Those expectations were not based in our personal reality of what was going on. They were only based in my ever-changing desire, guys, to have things look more like the people around us. I began to feel silly because we seemed to be the only ones doing it that way. I wondered if I was being taken advantage of. I was concerned that we just really, frankly, looked out of touch. Not to mention, it just would have been easier if he would have gotten up in the middle of the night or if he would have helped change diapers, right? Well, that wasn't the best use of his gifts. But one of Bob's strengths was his provision for our family. And out of that strength, he tried to serve me, to meet the needs he knew he wasn't meeting. And so he served me through providing a house cleaner and through providing someone to help me with my kids at home. So I could get up and I could take a shower if I wanted to. I could get up that day, and if we had had a really long night, I could take a nap. I could choose to go out and have coffee with someone if they were available. Now, to many of you, you're sitting there thinking, that would be a dream. And it was in so many ways. But I want you to know, I want to show you how when we're always comparing things, Sometimes we forget to view what's right in front of us for what it is. Sadly, because of my expectations, I didn't receive what he was providing for me as service from him, because I wanted him to be the one in the trenches with me. Never mind that he had all his trenches that I never went and jumped in. I never offered to go help him out, but I wanted him in my trenches. I wanted him to know what it was like to be so tired. And I wanted him to know whatever the situation was as it evolved, I wanted him in that with me. The truth was, if I had been honest with myself and with him, he was serving our family. I just wouldn't give him credit for how he was doing it, because I wanted to choose how he served me. And really, to be honest with him, it would have been difficult for him, and it would have not been the best use of his gifts. God had gone before us. He knew that Bob could serve our family and he could serve others outside of our family well if he had a capable and willing wife that would shoulder the early stages of child rearing. And I begrudged it simply because I was looking around and I was letting culture redefine my expectations of what a good parent was. And so I battled between what I had believed coming into marriage and what I viewed this new approach to parenting. And now that I know Bob better, I know that him getting up in the middle of the night, it had done more harm than good. My goodness, we might have been divorced by now if he would have had to get up all during those nights. Now, does that mean that we cannot ask our husbands to step into situations where they don't have to be stretched, or they don't have to work out of a weakness, or we can't call them into an expectation of something that's going to challenge them? No, it doesn't at all. But I would encourage you to be realistic with how your men can succeed in serving. Let's look at scripture to see how an example of what serving looks like. In Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." Okay, so Jesus, he came, he emptied himself, becoming a servant. And so let's begin to look for, hey, where are the ways that our husbands are emptying themselves for you or for your family? He may not be performing in the arena of your own expectations, but he is likely emptying himself in some way. Does he get up to go to work faithfully? Does he execute any roles in your marriage or in your family? Has he stopped to go help out someone else in need, or just gone to go meet a need that you are aware of? Maybe he hasn't done any of those things. But if you open your eyes, can you see any way that God could be growing him in the area of being servant? Maybe ways you've missed, ways that he's pouring himself out. So one of the things that Bob is really good at is gift giving. So when my kids were little, he offered to buy gifts for birthdays and Christmases. He would go out, we would split a list, and he would go get gifts. And let me tell you something, that was amazing when Amazon Prime was not what it is today. And my kids were little, and the idea of having four kids under four in a store shopping was just too much. Nobody would have gotten gifts. Bob's also an incredible strategic thinker. And he has spent more time than I can count with more people, including me, sitting and listening well to help people come up with problem-solving ideas and just strategy for life, for whatever it is. Now, those are two examples of serving that you're not going to see trending in culture. And maybe your husband doesn't do either one of those. But I would encourage you to begin to think outside of the box like that. Does he do things like that that aren't going to, you're not going to typically see it in everybody around you? Begin to open your eyes and look for things like that. We can take that kind of stuff for granted and not realize what a service it is to us. Now, as you're looking, as you're opening those eyes and you're trying to see, I want you to think along the lines of how God has called us to be their helper. Carrie introduced us to this at the beginning. He's called us to know, to love, and to do for them, right? So get to know your husband. Because of his personality, he would serve well, fill in the blank, front stage, behind the scenes, you know, maybe with a small group or one-on-one. Because he's gifted in, he could really help with, because he's passionate about what gets him up off the couch when football or a hunting channel or whatever it is puts him there. What is it that he's passionate about? What gets him to get up? Because of that, he would probably love to help with. Something I've learned, you know those things you get told all the time, but then you have to learn them? I've always been told, your husband wants your respect more than anything. He wants respect more than anything. And I've had to learn that. And if we repeatedly ask our husbands to engage where they know they're not going to measure up to our expectations, they're probably going to push back. And they're pushing back not because they don't love you or don't care about you, but because they are concerned that in the back of their minds, they're going to lose your respect when they don't do it the way they know you want it. Okay? So when you ask your man, if you ask him, though, to step into a challenge or to help you serve in a way that he has a fighting chance to do it, he's going to take that challenge, y'all. He will do it. So just get to know him so that you can invite him into ways, in ways of serving, so that he can succeed and excel and you can bolster him in that, okay? Now, the next thing is, how do we love them pertaining to service? Love them through the way that you speak to them in this. There are always going to be opportunities for us to invite them to help us with something. So show him love through your speech. The way that we ask our husbands for help creates the motivation for the service. So, do you want him motivated to help serve you through love and respect, or out of fear and shame? Because the way you ask him will usually put him in one of those two categories. So what motive do you want to drive him? One of Bob's really good friends knew I was going to give this talk, and he said, would you please tell them something from a man's perspective? And I was like, sure. So this is what he told me to say. He said, men want to be the hero for their wives. They want to be our Captain America. We made jokes about that with Heather, you know. They want to be our hero. And he said, but the way you invite us in lets us know immediately whether or not we have a chance to be the hero or we've already failed. And so I was like, give me an example. And he said, okay, here we go. So I'm going to use Bob's name instead of his. Hey, Bob, let me get this right. I don't want to mess this up. Bob, could you please help getting stuff out of the garage today so that we can park both cars in there? That would be huge for me. That way that I asked him, he said he could step in and be the hero for me. Versus, Bob, why haven't you gotten that stuff out of the garage? We can't get both cars in there, and it's going to be raining all week. And you know I can't stand it when you track water and mud in the house. He's already lost the battle. He can do the work, But he can't be the hero because of the tone and the way that the ask was already phrased. Does that make sense? So we can love them well by setting them up to succeed, to get to be our heroes in the way we invite them in to service. And then what can we do for them? We can encourage them, y'all. Our words can breathe life or death into our marriages. We can encourage them. Our words are powerful. Look for the ways that your husband is emptying himself right now and find the words to communicate it. Speak it to them, text it to them, write it on a post-it note and stick it in their car for them to find on their way to the work. But thank them. There's no service that is too small that you can thank your husband for. Thank you for taking out the trash every week. Thank you for driving our kids and dropping them off at school in the mornings. It makes my morning so great when you do that. It doesn't matter if it's a role that you guys have decided, hey, you're going to be in charge of this and I'm going to be in charge of this. Still thank him for it. I mean, think about how much you appreciate it when somebody recognizes the redundant things that you do over and over and over again, and you feel like nobody even appreciates that I've changed 500 diapers today, and nobody has ever said, thank you for wiping my bottom, and my husband never says, thank you for doing all of that, because then I don't have to. So put yourself in their shoes and encourage them. Encourage them. Build them up in what they're doing, in what they're already doing. It helps them, but it also helps us to develop an attitude of gratefulness, a heart and a mind of gratefulness. Nobody is ever hurt by having a grateful heart and grateful tongue. Y'all, I really wish that I could go back to our baby raising years and have this perspective. I regret the bitterness that I let take root back then, because Bob did not look like others by changing diapers and getting up in the middle of the night with our kids. I regret not embracing how God had designed me, how he had prepared me, and being confident in that so that Bob could have my wholehearted blessing to pursue what God had for him and using his gifts to the best of his ability. He wasn't a traditional servant based on culture in our home and with our kids in the baby years. But he's amazing now. We are in his sweet spot now with the ages that our kids are. And so I want to encourage you, mamas, and I want to tell you, we all go through these seasons. And maybe your husband is not knocking it out of the park. Heck, he may not even be bunting right now. But he may be unbelievable in another season. And sometimes it requires us to use the periscope, to look out, to look beyond the right now, and to see the potential, and to see what is there, and to invite God into that, and to encourage him in what he's doing now, because it may be developing in him something that you are going to love later, okay? Our seasons come and they go. And you'll get through it, whatever you're in right now. But let's give our men credit for what they're doing, even if it's a tiny bit. Let's encourage them where they're emptying themselves right now this week. And let's set them up to be our hero, so that we can love them well and they can love us and we can grow in these marriages together. Let me pray for us and then y'all can go discuss today. Lord, I thank you again for your faithfulness to us. Would you, Lord, just be involved in all the conversations and the discussions in their small group now? Lord, I thank you that we have a safe place here, that you've given us leaders to facilitate, that you've given each of these groups. You've specifically designated these groups because you know that there is value in each one of those relationships and what they have to share and give. Would you help these women as they communicate about their own lives and as they evaluate service? Would you help us all to see and be able to go out this week and love our husbands well, to learn to invite him into service in a way that honors you, and Father, just to be an encourager in our marriages and in our home. We love you, Lord, and we thank you that we can trust you and depend on you to help us. And we ask all this in the name of Christ. Amen.